Our scripture reading tonight is taken from the opening book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and we're reading from chapter 7, verse 1. Book of Genesis, chapter 7, commencing to read from the opening verse of the chapter. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his sons with them, into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, 2 and 2 of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Amen. We know the Lord and add his own blessing to the public reading of his precious and infallible word. Truly say, my hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And Lord, we just thank thee tonight that salvation is of the Lord. And we bless thee, Lord, there's cleansing in the blood of the Lamb tonight for all sin. And it is our heart's desire and earnest prayer tonight, if there be one in the gathering without Christ, that, Lord, thou would speak to that heart tonight. to the end, Lord, that they'll close in with thy offer of mercy, that they might know the joy of sins forgiven, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Be with us just now, Lord, as we turn to thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My text tonight is found in verse 16 of Genesis chapter 7 and verse 16. That little phrase, "and the Lord shut him in." There was great declension ever since Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. And that declension accelerated after the casting out of Cain from the Garden of Eden and from the presence of the Lord. There grew up a generation that was indifferent to God and the things of God. And of course, indifference leads to independence. And Cain's family lived independent of God. In all the reading of Cain, you never once read the words that he mentioned God in his life and his family or his business. Things quickened apace until we read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." That word imagination is a word associated with pottery. It means to form or to shape. And what it is saying here is the thoughts and intents of man were formed only after evil and wickedness. There was no thought of God or the things of God. And when God saw this, it grieved him at his heart. Now, you don't grieve over someone that you don't love, but you do grieve over those you loved. And it grieved God at his heart that man had departed so wickedly from him. And of course, God being God, he must judge sin. And so God had decided that he was going to wipe man from off the face of the earth. But there was one exception, and that exception was Noah. For we read in verse 8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a justified man. Noah was a righteous man by the grace of God. And that is seen in that the world forgot God, but Noah feared God. That's what the grace of God does. It doesn't make a man or woman live as they like. It means they fear God and they live in the light of his word. And as a consequence, we see in verse 9 that Noah walked with God. He was in fellowship with God. That's the evidence of the redeemed life, that we walk with God. And no matter the situation or circumstances that are prevailing, the child of God is called to walk with God. Enoch walked with God, and Noah walked with God. And how can we walk with God except we be agreed? And it was the grace of God that enabled Noah to walk with God. The world lived for the things of the world, the things which are seen and temporal. Things haven't changed much, have they? But Noah lived for the things that are invisible and eternal. And at God's commandment, he built an ark. And as he built the ark, he was in a minority. And even after 120 years of preaching, he was still in a minority. Just 8 souls entered into the ark. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wife. And God called Noah into the ark. And for 7 days, the door was open. And whosoever might have entered in and be saved from the wrath to come, because this flood was the wrath of God upon sin and a sinful world. But when the door was closed, all opportunity of safety was gone. There was only one place of safety and salvation, and that was in the ark. God had exhibited his mercy, and now he was going to execute his judgment. Those that were shut in would be safe from the flood tide, from the wrath of God. Those that were shut out were to be shut out to a lost eternity. And the Bible reminds us that again, the Lord is going to destroy the world for the very same reason, because of the wickedness and the corruption of man. Now, the ark pictures the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are in Christ are safe. Safe from the penalty, from the guilt and punishment of sin. And those that are out of Christ, they are without God and without hope. And if your hope tonight is not built on Jesus' blood and righteousness, you have no hope for eternity. And you'll be like those that were shut out in the day of God's wrath. The door of salvation is now open. One day it will close and the world forever. All opportunity of salvation will be gone. And you know, there's great joy as we look upon the gathering tonight, and we would judge that many in this meeting are shut in with Christ. That's a great thing tonight. But there's great sorrow that there are those perhaps in the meeting who are not in Christ. They're not saved. God's ark of salvation in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only place of safety. And tonight, as we consider this subject of being shut in or shut out, it is our earnest desire and prayer unto God, as God's word is preached and God's people are praying, that the Spirit of the Lord will so work in your heart that at the close of the meeting, all will be found in Christ. I want to consider this text tonight. The Lord shut them in. And simply to look first of all at those that were shut in. The Lord shut them in. They were safe in the ark. Safe from the judgment to come. They were separated from the world. And when a person gets saved, they're separated from the world. The believer being in Christ is separated from the world, and that's what we ought to be tonight. We live in a wicked world, a corrupt world, and many people say it's hard to live in this society. Well, I don't know about that. The darker the room, that little spark of light will burn brighter. And as you and I, as believers in the world, in a dark place, we should be shining so bright that people would see us and know that we have been with Jesus. In 1 John 2 and 15 it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, is not prevalent today. And the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, pride of position, pride of power, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Noah was shut in. He was shut in and separated from the world. That's our position tonight as believers. We're shut in with Christ. We're separated from the world, or we ought to be. You see, the world is living for the things of the world. In Luke 17 and verse 26, referring to this period, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." And what was it like in the days of Noah? They ate and they drank, they married and were given in marriage. In other words, they were busy about everything else, but they were not considering God or the things of God. There was no God. That's the condition of our world today. No God. But the child of God is a separated person unto the Lord. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Noah was separated by an act of God. God shut him in. The Lord shut him in. And he was safe. There was no way that Noah and his family were going to perish in that flood. The ark was built according to the word of God, and it was pitched within and without with pitch. It's the word that makes us sure. It's the blood that makes us safe. And Noah and his family were shut in by the Lord. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 35, we read the words of the Lord Jesus. He said to the disciples, "Let us pass over unto the other side." That was the Lord's word to the disciples. Now, in the meantime, in the crossing over, there arose a great storm. So much so that the little boat was likely to sink. And the disciples were so afraid, and they called on the Master, "Master, careth thou not that we perish?" That boat never, ever was going to sink. There was no possibility of that little boat sinking, because Christ was in the vessel. He was in the vessel. And brothers and sisters, you and I are going home. We're going to the other side. And the day you and I were saved, the Lord says, "I'm taking you home." And we're going to get there. I'm sure maybe sometime during that year and 10 days that maybe Noah had a wee niggle of doubt. Were we going to ever see land again? Or are we going to be safe? But the Lord was in the ark. "Come thou into the ark." And brothers and sisters, it says in Mark chapter 5 and verse 1, and they came to the other side. There's nothing, but nothing, that is going to hinder the child of God from getting home to glory. We're shut in with God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. They were shut in with all his family. Now, sometimes you hear people saying, "Well, Noah wasn't very successful in his preaching. After 120 years, the only people that gathered into the ark was his family." But I tell you, Noah was a happy man when the door was shut. And the sound of that door shutting was a death knell for those on the outside. But you can imagine Noah turning round, and praise God, there was his wife, there was Shem, Ham and Japheth and their wives, and the family was safe in the ark. I tell you, there's great joy in knowing that the family is gathered in. I wonder, brother, sister, tonight, have you claimed the promise? Are you reaching the family for Christ? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. We do well to have foreign mission societies and to support foreign missions. That is our duty. That's what we ought to do. But I tell you tonight, our immediate mission place is our family. Is our family. That's my vineyard. That's your vineyard. May it never ever be said of us, "My own vineyard, I have not kept. And we should pray and weep night and day that the family will be gathered in. Noah was a happy man, certainly grieved that there were so few that took up God's offer of mercy. And yet so happy, so blessed that the family was gathered in. And then he was shut in with all their needs supplied. In chapter 6 and verse 21 it says, "And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them." And so all the time, the year and 10 days that were in the ark, they never lacked anything that they required, that they needed. And I praise God tonight that the Lord never disappoints His people. He has promised. And the night that I got saved, almost 40 years ago, November 1967, I was given this word, Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And Noah and his family's need were met in the ark. And your need and mine is met in Christ. All our spiritual need and all our material needs, all our financial needs, our needs are met by the Lord. Israel, in the wilderness for 40 years, had every need supplied in miraculous ways. And I'm sure you tonight could come here and tell me of miraculous ways and how the Lord has met your need. We think of Elijah in the famine, and when he was at Cherith and Zarephath, the Lord met his need in wonderful ways. The prophet's widow of 2 Kings 4:6 had her needs met in miraculous ways. And of course, David in Psalm 37:25 says, "I have been young and now am old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." It's not a wonderful thing tonight. God not only has saved us, but He satisfies and He protects us and He provides for us all our need. Hope you're not worrying about your pension tonight, because the Lord says, "I'll meet your every need." Every need, whatever that need might be. And then he was shut in with God to be preserved and brought into a new world, as it were, because the world was changed by the flood. In chapter 8 and verse 15 it says, "And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundant in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds went forth out of the ark. In other words, all that went into the ark were safely delivered, as it were, in a new world. And brethren and sisters were safe and secure in Christ. And those that Christ has saved, one day He'll take to be with Himself. When He comes to make up His jewels, there'll not be one that will be missing. 8 went in, and 8 come out. And praise God for that. We're going home, and there's not one that is trusting in Christ tonight, that is washed in the precious blood, that will ever be lost. We're safe in the Lord Jesus Christ, shut in with Him. I'm glad I'm in Christ tonight. In Christ. It's the only place of safety and salvation. And then I want to consider with you those that were shut out. And when the door of the ark was shut, all those on the outside were shut out of the only place of safety. God had told Noah to build an ark. One ark. There was only one place of salvation from the wrath to come. There was but one door in the ark. And by that door, they could enter in to salvation. But those that refused to enter in were shut out to perish with a sure and swift destruction. Who were these people? Well, they were a people that were preached to. 2 Peter 2 and 5 tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And all the time in the building of the ark, no doubt he had a message for the people to flee from the wrath to come, that there was a place of safety from God's judgment, and it was in the ark. And he preached faithfully. Peter says he was a faithful preacher of God's word. And I'm sure he took much abuse. And no doubt he was laughed at and scoffed at. But Noah was faithful. There's many a faithful servant of God tonight in hard places. And they're seeing little fruit for their hire. But they're faithful to God and to his word. And to the souls of men and women. That's what every preacher is to be. A faithful preacher of God's word. Noah did what the Lord commanded him. They were a people that were prayed for. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14, also verse 20, Ezekiel refers to three men of renown. Renowned intercessors, Noah, Daniel, and Job. And no doubt as Noah preached and preached his heart out, he also prayed. And he would pray for his family. And he would pray for those that are around about him, even those that mocked him and laughed at him and scorned at him. And he prayed. And he prayed. Does my heart good to sit in a prayer meeting where people are bringing the family before the Lord, when people are praying for those that they work with day by day? And I'm sure I'm not talking to anyone in this meeting tonight, and I don't say it in a derogatory manner, but I don't think I'm preaching to anyone tonight that has never heard the word preached. I'm sure tonight that I'm not talking to anyone that has never been challenged with the gospel. And I'm definitely sure tonight there's not one in this meeting that hasn't been prayed for. What a privilege. What a privilege to be under the sound of the word of God, to hear words whereby we can and must be saved, and to know that there's those that are praying for us. What a privilege. What a blessing. No doubt. Many would have been associated with Noah in the building of the ark, and that's my own thought about it. It was a tremendous task. I'm sure there were those perhaps who helped to bring the wood down from the forest and helped Noah in some way in the building of the ark. And you know, there's those in our congregations, and they love the Free Presbyterian Church, and they love to come on the Lord's Day, and if there's anything to be done in a new building or project or something like that, they like to help. But you know, those that were helping in the construction of the ark, the sad thing was, when it was complete, they didn't enter in. Isn't it sad among many of our congregations? There's those who have helped, those who come to our meetings, those that subscribe to the church financially and physically, if there's work to be done. And isn't it a tragedy that many have gone into God's eternity not believing the message that the church has preached? That's sad tonight. That is sad. They had seen great wonders. They had seen all these animals, large and small, the elephants and all the rest of it, coming into the ark. Animals 2 by 2, 7 by 7. seeing great wonders, coming from the four corners of the world. And who collected them? Who told them to come? How did they know where to come to? But they all came. And no doubt there was many to stand and watch them go in. But they never went in. I'm sure tonight there's those within the sound of our voice, and you've sat in mission, and you've sat under the preaching of the gospel, and no doubt you have seen great sinners won to Christ. You have seen men and women, and perhaps you have said beforehand, that person will never be saved. You can remember way back, remember the great times of mission with Dr. Paisley, and great sinners were saved. And maybe you sat then and you saw great wonders, but you're not saved tonight. You're not saved. What they did, they took delight in worldly things. Luke 17 and 26 and 27, they ate, they drank, they married and were given in marriage. In other words, they were involved in the things of the world, and things just went on. And that's the way it was, but there was no thought of God. They disdained the message that Noah was preaching. They just lived for the pleasures of the world, for the here and the now. They never gave a thought for eternity. They never stopped to ask themselves the question, what if what Noah's preaching is right? What if? Have you ever considered that? What if what Mr. Greer preaches week after week is the truth? And the judgment of God comes, and those that you're sitting beside will be caught up to be with the Lord, and you're left. They did not believe. That was the important thing. Noah wasn't saved because he built the ark. Noah was saved because he believed God, and because he was trusting in Christ, because he enjoyed the grace of God. He didn't believe. They saw what Noah was doing, building an ark. They knew why he was building an ark. Because God had told Noah to build the ark, and Noah would relay that to the people, that it was the only place of safety and salvation from the coming judgment, from the flood that was coming. And they scoffed at Noah. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying things just continue as they were. They laughed. Didn't believe it. And I suppose ungodly would think that way, because there never had been rain. Rain had never fallen on the earth prior to this time. The boat was nowhere near, or the ark was nowhere near water. And you could well imagine laughing and scoffing and at Noah. Noah, what are you doing? Noah, you're too long out in the sun. Don't they say the same things today, that we're mad preaching the gospel? Where's the judgment of God? Sure, things continue as they are. Well, if we had any sense, would see that things are not continuing the way they are. All this global warming, what's it all heading up for? How's the Lord going to judge the world the second time, so as by fire? And I'm glad tonight that I believed the foolishness of preaching and entered into Christ almost 40 years ago. What became of them? Well, it says in chapter 7, in verse 21, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. God's word came to pass. You'll read that little phrase over and over again in the word, and it came to pass. And God's word always comes to pass. And it doesn't matter people's unbelief. And just because maybe you tonight don't believe the gospel, that doesn't mean to say the gospel is not true. The problem is not with the word, it's with you. God had said he would destroy the world with the flood. And God means what he says, and he says what he means. And it came to pass, and all flesh died. They died. And could you imagine the situation? The door is shut. 7 days, the door remained open. An open invitation that whosoever will may come. And maybe it just tested Noah's faith a wee bit. 7 days and no rain. But finally the door was shut. Shut. And it was shut to that generation so that they were lost. You can imagine them still laughing and scoffing. Noah shut up with his family in a casket, really. It was hardly a boat. And they laughed. And they laughed. And then there came the first drop of rain. And then it came a drizzle. And then it became a downpour. And the fountains of the deep were broken up. And it began to dawn on them that Noah was right. There never had been rain. And now there was rain. And it began to dawn on some of them. We should have listened to Noah. We had every opportunity to get into the ark. And you could well imagine, as the waters began to rise, and before the ark began to lift from the earth, there would be many, and they'd be running, and they'd been hammering on the door. Noah, open unto us. Crying and beating. To no avail. And I often think of that portion in Proverbs where the Lord says, I will laugh at their calamity. Because when I would, they would have none of my counsel. And you know, there's an old saying, he who laughs last, laughs best. But God would be grieved. He was grieved with their wickedness. But he had to judge sin. He wouldn't be God if he wasn't. I remember many years ago, in Portrush, 3 or 4 young men set off in a little boat on a fishing trip. Beautiful day. The sky was blue, not a cloud to be seen. And all of a sudden, a freak wave comes and tosses them out of the boat. They had all the gear on. And the three of them perished. And I remember talking to a relative of one of the men that perished. And he had seen the body of one of them that had drowned. And he said to me, in the palms of their hand, there wasn't a bit of flesh. You see, what had happened? They got out of the boat and it was near the shore. It was near the rocks. And they've been trying to get up onto the rocks. And they've been catching and catching until the flesh was taken from their hands. But no avail. What torment of heart. What terror of mind when they realized they were lost. My friend, tonight, the door of God's salvation is open for you tonight. It's open. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I love that word, any man, whosoever. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. If you come to Christ, if you come through Christ, you'll be saved. If any man, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Not cast you out, but you must come. That was the word of the Lord to Noah, verse 1, chapter 7. Come thou, and all thy family, come. And you need to come tonight just as you are in all your sin. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ will take you in. He'll save you, he'll cleanse you, he'll wash you in his precious blood. He'll give you that spotless robe of his righteous son's righteousness. And he'll set you on your way rejoicing. And he'll promise every need supplied. So great salvation. And yet it was spurned. It was spurned for the tawdry things of this world. Men and women are toiling and they're scheming for the things of this world. Those things that will be burnt up in the judgment of God. Happy is the man or woman in the meeting tonight that is trusting in Christ, who has thought in the things that are invisible and have had their hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The door is open. Day of God's grace is still with us. But remember, as God said in Genesis 6 and 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There was an end to the day of grace. There was an end to the patience and long suffering of God. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Oh, may you come tonight just as you are. I don't have to tell you. We do not know what a day may bring forth. What a tragedy. God is speaking to your heart tonight, that you listen to the devil and put it off to another occasion and then be ushered out into God's eternity without Christ, without God, and without hope. Oh, may you come tonight. There's room. There's room tonight at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. May you come tonight and know that joy of the knowledge of sins forgiven. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, shut in or shut out, there's no sitting on the fence. There's no middle way. We're either in Christ and have every sin forgiven, the robe of Christ's righteousness, justified in his sight, every need supplied, the Lord Jesus Christ, the friend that sticketh closer than any brother, the one who has promised never to leave us or forsake us. Lo, I am with you always. And the people of God can say tonight, yea, he is altogether lovely. And Lord, we pray for those tonight that see him as but a root out of a dry ground, with no form nor comeliness, that they should desire him. O God, that they might see him tonight as the only Redeemer, as the only Savior from sin. They might realize, Lord, that they're lost tonight, and lost people need to be saved. And Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners. Lord, we pray that they'll own up their sinnership and come to Christ. And thou hast promised thou wilt in no wise cast out. Lord, just speak now. Just now. O God, bring the wandering one to Jesus. Bless the congregation here. We thank thee for it. Bless her minister, her session committee. Undertake for them in the days that lie ahead. and grant, Lord, thy blessing upon her denomination. And we pray, Lord, for Dr. Paisley, that thy hand will be upon him. The Lord will guide and direct. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be the abiding portion of thy people, both now and forevermore. Amen.